This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I needed this, Drew. Thank you. You know I like this. 11 o'clock hour.
He's Cody imagining Michael Jordan dunking right now.
I'm picturing Space Jam. Absolutely. Drew knew. March Madness is here. All of it.
Also, fly like an eagle. We were just talking about the Eagles. We were leaning in.
I don't even need the reason he played it. You can play it whenever you feel like it. This is one of those good ones.
Oh yeah, it's a classic.
One of those classic songs, no doubt about that. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 15 minutes or so. But we teased this before the break, and it's where do things stand for the Vikings QB situation, which has the trickle-down effect for Aaron Rodgers. The latest from Diana Rossini is that the Vikings have strongly considered and are going to continue to monitor Aaron Rodgers as an option, depending on what they see in the spring, OTAs, etc., from second-year now quarterback J.J. McCarthy. So let's start with the McCarthy angle first, and because I know you think this is not a good sign for him.
No! Anytime, I'll just be honest, like there was never, and I know he's coming off the injury, so I will factor in that at least that shaves 10% of the worry off of there. But if you take a guy in the first round, he spends the entire year in your facility, you knew why you drafted him in the first round, like all of the things that exist inside of there, and you're kicking around your entire offseason, considering strongly, still to this point, bringing in a guy who actively has been running through and holding teams hostage, you don't like your quarterback. I just don't like, and look, I'm probably too far in this because I've never seen him play a snap. I am no longer convinced that J.J. McCarthy is going to work in the NFL.
Really?
And I haven't even seen him play because I think Kevin O'Connell is incredibly smart.
Yes.
And I think Kevin O'Connell's got an excellent eye for quarterback. And when no team wanted Sam Darnold, he brought his ass in, started him, and got the man $37 million this year, maybe $100 million. And got his team to the number two seat, well, the number two record in the NFC. And if he is sitting in those offices thinking, what if on Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't like J.J. McCarthy enough or consistently enough? It doesn't mean they won't have any success or he won't find some way to mediocrity. But it's like them kicking it around does this. Plus, I guess, is Aaron Rodgers is down to either the Vikings take me in or I'm retiring?
Yeah, we can get
because he doesn't seem real interested in the Steelers.
Yeah, because I want to get to that too. As far as what you said about JJ, I hear you. I think it's still a bit unfair to already say that, well, they just don't trust the guy, believe in the guy, because what I read at least into it is, all right, the Vikings, they do want to see what he looks like coming off an injury, and they want to have in their back pocket potentially a stronger veteran option. If JJ McCarthy looks healthy and is where they believe he should be, then they can spend less money basically on a backup. And you know, I don't know, like you and I were talking off air. I think they should bring in Carson Wentz to be the backup there in Minnesota. And if I'm Carson Wentz, I'd be interested versus, hey, McCarthy's just not ready. Let's go bring in Rodgers. We want to win right away. Cause there's probably the reality of, you're probably not winning as many games as you did last year. I understand Sam Darnold. Nobody would have thought he would win that many either.
14,
but they're probably not winning 14 games with JJ McCarthy. And that's just, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would win. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would win 14 games either. Like, I just, a lot of things went right for them. But I'm with, you know, I'm a big fan of Kevin O'Connell as well. I hear you. I think this is, we're not going to rush in anything with Aaron Rodgers. We don't have to. We're going to see more. We don't want to close the door on Rodgers. We want to leave it cracked open a little bit. That's how I think it is for McCarthy. Now, what you were saying about where does Aaron Rodgers go from here in the Steelers? If I'm the Steelers at this point, dude, I'm just saying, you have till Friday. Yes or no?
We're going to sign Carson Wentz.
We're going to go. We're going to go somewhere else. We're not going to let you play this game anymore with us. Cam Hayward had some comments earlier. Basically, he was like, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't want to be a Steeler. Figure it out, dude.
Yeah, it's not. He makes it seem like he's making a more complicated decision than every other person making this decision. Do you want to be a starting quarterback for the Steelers, for the Giants, or for the Vikings? I think he doesn't want to be for the Giants. I think he's looking at a path down the road, and it's just on one side is the Vikings, the job he really wants. He wishes they would give him so he could throw it to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and have Aaron Jones with a really smart offensive coach, and he sees how easy it is to win there. And on the other side, he's like, I guess I could be the Steelers guy, but that guy's going to make me like, he's going to boss me around, and the weapons aren't quite as good, even though Pickens and Metcalf are not nothing on that end. There's a million running backs this year in the draft, so you can find a good one if you're the Steelers, even though it didn't work out with Najee Harris. And in the middle, he's looking at retirement. He's like, that doesn't seem all that bad. And for my sake, just retire. Get the hell out of the league so every year I don't have to do this. The problem is, even if he retired this year, I know next year some quarterback-hungry team would start kicking around the tires on him again because there were other teams. I don't think there were no teams interested in Aaron Rodgers. He wants to handpick a spot. And the best spot to be a starting quarterback this year, and if anybody who's looking, is absolutely the Vikings.
I just don't think there's a starting spot there, though, right? That's why we're here, that's basically what the Vikings are saying. Currently, there's not a spot for you. We'll leave the door open, but we're not going to slam it shut. But we believe we already have our starter. That's what I think is happening so far.
I think there might be a truth to that. And admittedly, you know, we even joked about this at training camp when we were out there. So, like, they're football coaches. They can see things we don't see, whatever.
Sure.
I understand. No offense. If you should already have a decision on your quarterback before you watch him in shorts in May. That can't be the like, oh, now I think he's got the goods because he's in shorts in May. Like, I'm just, come on. You got to know about your quarterback before you start doing that. And so, like, some of it is like, and I understand, like, I watch training camp sometimes. I'm like, so you watch this guy, like, duck under this screen, slap a tennis ball a couple of times, and you're like, that guy's got it. That other guy, though, he stinks. He's terrible at smacking the tennis balls. And you make full roster decisions. And that's not the truth. You and I both know that they've already made decisions based on how they scouted in the draft and real game tape and all this other stuff. So you know what you have in McCarthy in a lot of ways, in my opinion. You know what his flaws were coming into the league. You know what his strengths were coming into the league. And you like this guy enough to trade up, I think, right? Or no, maybe they just took him to the spot.
But in fairness,
JJ McCarthy. Yeah, so
but in fairness,
why mess around with Rodgers for a year?
In fairness, Rossini's saying they're not ready to commit to Rodgers at this point in the offseason.
That means they want to look harder at JJ, yeah.
Yeah, and like that's I don't think there's anything wrong with that. My guess is he's going to look fine, and they'll roll with him heading into the season. I'm not telling you that JJ McCarthy is going to put together a season like Stroud or Jaden Daniels did in their rookie years, and this is year two, of course, for JJ McCarthy. But I don't think it's, and I know you're not saying this fully, I don't think it's fair to act like, well, it must mean JJ McCarthy's not any good. I don't think that would be fair yet to say.
Keeping one eye open on upgrades, you know? And an upgrade, if a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers is an upgrade, that doesn't bode well.
I think it's probably a little tricky, and there was reports, remember, that Kevin O'Connell and management maybe weren't on the same page. There was briefly for a week some rumors about his future. I wonder if there's some pressure, I'm assuming from higher up. I don't know which side each party is
like
on.
Maybe management but somebody, is pro-Rodgers.
Right, because look, you won 14 games, and your roster's clearly good enough to be a Super Bowl contender.
It's not crazy.
And so, like, I think there's the greediness that comes in there. And my guess that would come from management, even though front office, you're like, well, that's who drafted him. But somebody involved there, whether it's Kevin O'Connell or management,
clearly is more of a Rodgers guy than McCarthy guy. Somebody is. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, it just as easily could be the head coach, which would be more concerning for me, obviously, because, again, I think Kevin O'Connell's got an excellent eye.
Somebody wants us to read J.J. McCarthy's draft profile from a year ago. I wonder if he has the meaty hands that we talked about from somebody else yesterday. I don't know if we can find that. I don't know if we can find the draft. Oh, here we go. I can find it. My guess is it was not the same description. That we
is
had.
What was Lance Zierlein?
Was it Ty Neil Williams or who was that yesterday that we talked about? Had the lower body and the
I think it was him.
Yeah, yes. Tyreek Williams has big meaty hands.
The J.J. McCarthy comp was they don't have just round run. They didn't do a comp. They just said round one projection. But they just said there's nothing. There's none of the one. There's nearly as good as yesterday. I hate to break it to you guys.
Sorry.
Plays with a chip on his shoulder. You know, won't hesitate to slide and find new launch points.
Ooh.
Sluggish getting through progressions, modest arm strength. Deep balls need to come out quicker with more air under them. Yeah, there's nothing there that's as fun to talk about as some of the other ones.
Yeah, that one doesn't have as much juice as the ones yesterday, certainly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, if I'm with you, though. Like, if I'm the Steelers or the Giants, and the Giants, this isn't even a decision if I'm the Giants. I'm picking top three in the NFL draft. I'm just going to take a quarterback. I'm either going to trade up and get Cam Ward, or I'm going to take Shadur, or whatever the hell I got to do. I'm one of the first three picks in the NFL draft, and I don't have a quarterback. Guess what I'll do? Take a quarterback. Problem solved. They don't have to sit and be held hostage by Aaron Rodgers. And look, if Aaron Rodgers a month from now decides he wants to be a Giant, you actually don't have to worry about it because you at least will then have started figuring your backup plan can always be, I'll take a quarterback with my first pick in the first round of the NFL draft. The Steelers do not have that luxury. Right now, their starting quarterback is Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
They need a decision because at the very least, they got to put some competition with him. They got to call the Falcons about Cousins, or they got to figure out if Carson Wentz is it. They got to put some competition into that spot. And maybe they would be the Jackson Dart team all the time, all of a sudden, because they don't have a starting quarterback and there's a guy in the draft they like. But their consistent pursuance of Aaron Rodgers tells me that they don't like the guys after Ward and Shadur Sanders either. They would also like a one-year stopgap to buy themselves a year until they get to next year's crop of quarterbacks.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 8 minutes or so, but it's been a little while since we had any stadium conversations and where things stand. We meant to get to this late last week, and then things got busier with some other breaking news and everything, but Fox 4 actually had the first report on this, and it was discussing Jackson County in regards to the Royals ballpark situation. So by now we all know, right, that the mayor has said it. The Royals have basically acknowledged it, right, that Washington Square Park, just east of Union Station, is one of the sites the Royals are considering for a new ballpark. We all know it was last April. It's almost been a year, guys. Last April, where that vote failed, asking for sales tax dollars for both the Chiefs and Royals failed by 16%. And one of the members of the Jackson County Legislature said, you know, they're still trying to figure out what the teams want. It's quoted in this article, and it says that the possibility for a Royals ballpark in Jackson County could still require a vote, which that's just one person's opinion.
We're not back to there again, are we?
One person's opinion in this. I still find it very hard to believe that that's the path forward because I don't believe a vote would pass for the Royals.
You don't think
again.
Just a new I thought don't. And now there's a continued threat, right, that they might leave or something? You don't think that does anything?
Personally, no. So this Daron McGee is the Jackson County Democratic Legislative Chairman. That's who's quoted, and I believe it was our friend Jonathan Katz who had this story. And he went on to say that McGee, who was on the vote yes side back in April, talked with Fox 4. And he said, quote, I think they would have to get back and go back to the voters. I don't know any other way around it. He was asked if it makes sense for the Royals to go back before the voters of Jackson County. Quote, either that or, as I told you before, I think that would involve the ownership costs keeping up with the costs of maintaining a stadium.
Does it help that it would be half the price tag? Let's just say that they didn't want the they didn't want the full amount. They wanted half, right?
Yeah.
Because before they were doing the full three-eighths cent sales tax that they had already, a tax you were already paying, which is always the part that's kind of funny in part of this is that, like,
everybody presented it a different way, right? On one side, it was presented
you are actively already paying this tax,
and on the other side would say it's a new tax because it's renewal. Depends on what side you're on. Everybody played the game.
I'm just saying you are currently
for sure.
I think it's like weirdly, I think it's kind of both.
Yeah,
it is a new tax, and it's continuing it, but you are actively paying it.
Correct.
But it's like if it's in half of whatever three. What's half of 3/8? Let's extend this out. So that'd be 3/16.
Yeah.
3/16.
I was promised no math.
That does not have the same ring to it.
I was promised 3/16
of a cent sales tax or whatever else they're asking for.
Yeah.
Would that move voters? Would the location stuff move voters? Like, cause it lost by so much, dude. Bringing it back to the voters feels like a
huge risk.
Dangerous game.
I don't think we see that. The only scenario that I could see, if you told me that they already knew, they being the state of Missouri and the city of KCMO, knew that the Chiefs had already picked up, or packed up their bags and said, hey, we're going to Kansas. Then do the Royals have more leverage in that scenario because you're in danger of losing both teams? Maybe then that changes the dynamics of it. There was also a quote from a former city councilwoman in this article from Fox 4. So Becky Nace, she was the chair of the committee against new Royals stadium taxes back in April. She said that if the Royals try building anywhere downtown, that the vote would fail countywide in Jackson County.
So she's already
saying one person's opinion, but that's where we're at. I would be surprised.
It, so yeah. You know, like that's,
no, she was correct. No, she was correct the last time in terms of that it would fail considerably, and it did for a variety of reasons. I don't believe you're making up 16% of a vote, even if a different proposal, unless, as I said, maybe if you already knew you lost one of the teams. Otherwise, I don't believe the Royals are willing to go to another vote too.
No, I don't think so either. I don't know why they would want to. They got embarrassed. The Chiefs and the Royals got embarrassed the last time this thing went to a vote. Gold, we went in being like, true 50-50. Not sure which way it's going to go. Can't tell you. I'm not sure. Is it going to pass? Is it going to fail? That's how we both felt going into that vote. And they got smoked.
Yeah.
And look, again, maybe the lower dollar amount would help. Maybe. I actually think if they got to a vote, the only thing that would help it pass is that, let's just say it's a little bit less money because it's not both teams. If the Chiefs announce they're going to Kansas, that's your time to get a vote.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, if they say, hey, we're going to Legends, okay, we'll take a vote. That's realistically maybe your only chance to, I think, like, curry enough, like, you know, I don't want to lose both.
Mm-hmm.
I still want downtown baseball, so I just want downtown baseball is cool. And I know that that's a selfish reason to do it. I want Kansas City to be a cool place to live and a cool place for people to want to visit, and I think downtown baseball is cool. Like, I know that that's like oversimplifying the problem because there's a lot of economics at play, but that's why I want the stadium at some of the proposed sites they're looking at versus out in the suburbs.
Now, at least this go around, whatever the end result is, so wisely, because of how unorganized it seemed the messaging was, and of course the site changes last minute, which was not all on the Royals, as we know. A lot of that was on the city as well. The fact they've been so quiet over the last almost year, I guess, at this point, April will be a year, is probably very smart. Like, the next time you try to say, this is our decision and here's what we need, here's what we want, you better have all your ducks in a row.
This is like, yeah, this is a lot like proposing. You better be sure you're getting a yes. Like, you better be damn sure. And you're right. Have every tiny minor detail. Don't, like, the day before be like, no, we're not closing Oak. Make sure you got it all sorted. Every little nugget. I don't care if you're like, we already know how the environmental testing is going to go. You put every, cross every T, dot every I. Because last time, whether the Royals agree with this perception or not, and they don't, as an organization don't, they came off like the sweaty lawyer in a bad TV sitcom spilling their papers all over the place. They seemed disorganized and lost was the public, this goes back to the Joe Burrow, the public perception of it. I'm sure they'd say that that wasn't what was happening.
Right.
But you and I agreed that they, like, that's the way it came off. Like, they just kept being like, we didn't even think about these things. You guys care what roads are closed?
Trash of the day.
All right, this takes us to Florida. We usually have a lot of them down there. Has to do with a little police chase, not just a normal police chase, one involving an ambulance. So cops in Florida say a man stole an ambulance, led law enforcement on a wild car chase through the streets of Tampa. But some of the other details are interesting involved here. So there's some dash cam footage of police pursuit, which was on Saturday. It shows Florida Highway Patrol troopers pursuing the ambulance as the emergency vehicle ran through stop signs, swerved through traffic, stuff you would normally see, right, if you've watched any police chase in any city. And so when the driver fully pulls over, they finally get him to pull over, Right before he gets arrested, he chugs a beer. Cops say,
I mean,
it was,
I guess you're already in trouble. What's the difference?
Cops say he downed the drink. It was beer. Officers opened the door, threw him to the ground. The pursuit started around 8:40 Saturday. They got an alert about a Tampa Fire Rescue ambulance being stolen from a hospital. Police found the ambulance 10 minutes later after the call came in and attempted to stop the driver. Of course, that's when the driver fled in the ambulance. A 43-year-old Tampa resident was the driver. He was arrested on charges of burglary of an emergency vehicle, grand theft of an emergency vehicle, fleeing and eluding, driving while license suspended, resisting arrest, and DUI, because he added the beer chugging
also,
to it as well.
I guess in the other stuff seems like the bigger trouble than just the straight-up DUI.
I would say so.
You got to hit him with a driving on a suspended license. He stole a car. I don't think that... What's that? That
charge.
Might be a fine.
Every charge. I mean, they should also hit him on, like, other than fleeing a little... How about cite him for the damn running through the stop signs, too? Just add every little thing on there.
If you're in an ambulance, though, aren't you allowed to do that?
No.
Not all of it.
You notice, though, there's a different charge.
You can charge him with... He's in an ambulance.
It's not just regular grand theft. Grand theft of an emergency vehicle is even more serious.
Worse?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, think about it.
I mean, I gotta be honest. If I'm stealing anything, it's not a cop car or an ambulance.
Yeah, not smart.
Like, that... Like, there's no way... Plus, I got to assume that all those things are low-jacked.
Yeah, trapped.
That's part of my reasoning behind it, is that if I steal an ambulance, I got to assume that they got a tracker to know where the ambulance was. That just feels like an incredibly risky vehicle to try to steal.
Maybe not.
And not exactly inconspicuous.
Maybe not on ambulance. Police cars, I'm sure, are all tracked. I don't know about ambulances. You're right, though. It's like you're not hiding an ambulance. I mean, so it's like, hey, someone stole an ambulance. It's pretty obvious if you spot one. Yeah, it's not like, oh, it's a black...
You steal a 2019 Camry, no one's probably going to notice.
Yeah, a random black sedan. There might be a lot of those on the road versus, fluorescent at times ambulance whatever.
I mean, if I'm stealing an ambulance, you're turning on the lights though, right?
I don't know if it said he had the lights on or not.
I mean,
you might as well get people to move out of the way.
Dude, if I'm well, and just because like that's part of the fun of like being in an ambulance and a police car, if I'm just driving it, I want to turn on the siren.
Not too many people are having fun.
I wanted
in
to go I wanted to go wee-oo. You know, you're like a little kid. It's the same like if I stole a fire truck, I'd want to operate the hose. I want to spray water here. I don't think that's crazy.
But the hose is not connected while they're driving, though.
No, but so, I want to stop and, like, you know, use the hose for a second instead of chug the beer, you know?
Someone says, I would do the siren as well. Someone says they work for a water company. Their truck is low-jacked. It's just a 2015 Chevy Silverado, and their water company has theirs low-jacked. Someone says, $100, this guy plays way too much GTA. Because that's something you would definitely do in Grand Theft Auto. You would steal the ambulance. You would absolutely, because you could also go into ambulance mode in Grand Theft Auto and then actually go and do real things. Yeah.
When's the last time you played a Grand Theft Auto?
I played a decent amount
in high school.
Not as far back as you think, because on Xbox you can sometimes play it for free if you have the online subscription. I probably actually played it briefly within the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to do in the ambulance, you know?
So it sounds like Cody really wants to steal one and see what happens.
I don't want to steal one.
It certainly sounds like
is there a firefighter who'll let me, like, cruise around? And then
you can
maybe turn the big wheel for a second or use the hose.
Police departments have the ride-along thing. Some of the police departments do, where you can ride along.
I've ridden along.
Let's do a ride-along.
You know, fairness, I've had my ride-along in a police vehicle.
No, I mean, I'm talking about in the passenger seat.
You're
not in the back.
Okay. I'm talking about in the passenger seat, not handcuffed.
Yeah. They unhandcuffed me before they put me in.
Let's do a ride-along. Let's see if they let us do a ride-along. We can live tweet the ride-along.
I'm sure there's a cop that let us do a ride-along.
I think you have to fill out a whole official, it's a very official process you have to go through.
You got to sign some waivers.
You got to make sure, they get background check and all kinds of stuff. That'd be the dumbest thing, by the way. You applied to do a ride-along and it turns out, yeah, idiot. Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad. This guy just sounds like a classic drunk Florida idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much narrowing down what happened?
Yeah,
he got drunk, he stole an ambulance, he broke a bunch of other laws, chugged a beer, and then got arrested. He's probably going to go to jail for a little bit.
Did you look up what's the grand theft auto of an emergency vehicle versus regular? What's the difference in like potential sentence are we talking about?
I mean, a couple years? I don't know. Like maximum?
I don't know.
Of an emergency? This is like way too long of a sentence to type. Let's see, because it's, you know, this is State by state, I'm sure.
True. So. But in Florida? This one, here you go. Grand theft in an emergency vehicle can result in a third, second, or first degree felony. Potential penalties up to 30 years in prison.
Dang.
Up to 30. Doesn't mean he's getting 30, but up to 30 years.
Okay.
In California, grand theft auto is a wobbler offense that can be charged as a felony or a misdemeanor. But if you steal an emergency vehicle, it's likely to be charged as a felony with a maximum sentence of 3 years in state prison. So don't do it in Florida. Guess if you're going to steal an ambulance, Cody, do it in California.
It looks like it's not quite as big of a jump.
Florida doesn't mess around. Florida does not mess around.
Well, they had to prepare themselves for all the Florida men out there.
That's true. That's quite a big difference. So Cody's discovered now, if you're going to steal an emergency vehicle, do it in California,
class
not Florida.
Class D felony in Missouri for any stolen vehicle. Class B for an emergency vehicle. So slightly more.
Our law enforcement friends
slightly
listening,
more serious.
I'm sure are thrilled that we're discussing this.
Yeah, they're probably yelling.
We're telling you not to do it. I said don't.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Steal
it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. After you just said
how fun it would be.
I just said I'd want to turn the sirens on.
Drew shaking his head.
I think that's a pretty normal want.
I'm not telling you to, but if I did.
Just go play Grand Theft Auto and get your little fun out that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk a little bit more about what Travis Kelce had to say about a draft prospect that could be a top five or top 10 pick. That's coming up next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. I want to talk about what Travis Kelce had said recently about Travis Hunter, who will be one of the top prospects in this year's draft. And Travis Hunter has responded back as well. So I definitely want to make sure we get into that. Someone on the text line. Whoa. I was going to say, someone on the text line said their uncle stole an ice cream truck to drive to Woodstock. But you know what that means? It means the mock draft sounder.
At the beginning of the Chiefs Red Half Hour?
And I don't know if you guys are, you know, we have somebody on the phone line as well.
Let me look. It says Bink Daddy. I'm not even kidding. It says Bink Daddy is on hold.
It really does say that.
Character Concerns did come out with a brand new mock draft yesterday. The Character Concerns podcast. Hopefully you're subscribed already. Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley. So we have Bink Daddy, as it says on the caller ID. I don't know if Bink has changed his caller ID name to that or Dusty's messing with him. Something's up there. But Bink is joining us for a little mock draft sounder. You know what that means, Bink. That means you got to let us know how the mock went. This is 2.0?
This is 1.0 of Chiefs mock, but it's the NFL, we did a 1.0, but this is full Chiefs mock, all eight selections. And I did not change that to Bink Daddy. Someone did that years ago.
It's actually Bink, Daddy, so it's actually Daddy Bink if you read it, you know.
I like it though.
It's like last name first, you know?
All right. Well, then, so pick 31, round one. Who did you have
pick
the Chiefs take?
31, round one.
Oh,
man. It is so tempting to trade out of this, guys.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't like that pressure when they were in Kansas City where they felt like that need to still draft somebody at the end of the first round. This is no pressure here. But Will it be alluring for someone maybe to trade in and get that third quarterback at 31? Adam Schefter put out on Twitter when he wasn't in hiding after Jordan Schultz schooled him. He tweeted out that this is the latest it's gone, it's the closest to the draft without first round being traded.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose you? I think we you dropped there, Bink. Let's put him on hold, guys, and we'll try to reconnect. He was mid-sentence there. We lost.
I thought he was mid-sentence. That didn't seem like the completion of the thought.
Yeah, so let us know. We'll get reconnected, obviously, with Bink. He was trying to talk about the trade.
We didn't even hear who his Bink is yet.
No,
I gotta know.
In the trade, he was teasing us a little bit. He was teasing us a little bit with the trade scenarios and trying to trade out of round one at pick 31 if a team wants to find that quarterback or whatever. But, yeah, something happened on the phone connection.
We'll get back to Bink in a minute. Not sure what happened there. I mean, he is right. Adam Schefter did point out that it's the latest it's been, but that's also because nobody's traded up for quarterback yet. You and I both know that that's more related to the Cam Ward thing. And I think it was Schefter who was reporting this morning or last night that it's moving or trending in the direction that Cam Ward will be the number one overall pick, which I guess I thought we knew gold.
Maybe his phone
the other side.
Maybe his phone.
Did he run out of battery?
I don't know. He's not answering. So we'll figure out. Hopefully everything's all right. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe bad connection or the phone wasn't charged. I'm not sure, but we are now going to try to reconnect one more time. If not, we'll find out. Honestly, you need to listen to the Character Concerns podcast to find out all the mock draft picks from Jay Binkley and Christian Ocero anyway. But he was going to tell us round one, pick 31, the player that he thought the Chiefs should actually go and target.
I don't know. Just be a mystery, I guess. Chiefs are trading out. That's what, you know what? I'm taking this as a sign. He said it was really tempting for the Chiefs to trade out, hung up, and he's indicating that the Chiefs will not have a first-round pick. That's the way I'm taking it now. Is Bink a purist, or does he follow your rule where you're allowed to trade?
Yeah, I don't know if Bink is with me where mock draft should not have trades or not. Bink, we got you again?
Yes, I'm here, guys. Sorry about that. Modern technology, you know how that works.
Working against you, you know?
All right, so you were about to tell us, I think, who you were about to take.
No, I was about to tell you. Did you guys hear the Adam Schefter tweet?
Yes, yes.
We saw no first-round trades for the latest since Joe Montana to the Chiefs in 1993.
Which direction do you think I'm going, guys? Am I going defense or offense? Because, I've been heavily upon
I think you
offense.
Have to go defense at this point.
They have a starting five on the offensive line if they need it. I think defensive line is the only, they haven't addressed it in free agency player.
Well, I'm with you guys, and I am smart about this. And I'm tired of seeing mock drafts, just like the one Mel Kiper just put out yesterday that had the Chiefs getting an offensive tackle again. First of all, they're not drafting an offensive tackle, any short-armed offensive tackle at that. I'm going Nick Scorton, edge out of Texas A&M.
Former.
That is our first-round selection.
Okay, so Nick Scorton played at Purdue. Quick search, somebody comped him to George Karloftis already. Is that strictly because they both played at Purdue?
Because of the attitude and everything to Purdue. I don't know. He did lead the Big Ten in sacks 2 years ago. Not as productive at A&M. It went down. But it's a three-down defensive end, meaning you can just keep him in every time. Rundowns, pass downs, you name it, setting the edge out there. But Nick Scorton, that's the direction went. He's Pro Football Focus. So Derek Harmon, out of Oregon, is actually a defensive lineman I would love, but I don't think he's going to be there at 31. This is actually somebody sitting there at 31 I think they can get. Nick Scorton.
He's only, just quick search, he's 20 years old. He'll be 21. I mean, he's young kid still, so he'd be 21 before the start of the season.
Jacked, he's big, he's physical, he's a presence.
Is he a guy that can go and right away make an impact, or because of his age, is he another developmental, got to wait a year kind of thing?
No. I don't think so. I mean, the guy had 3 years of college football, two at Purdue, one at A&M. So I think he's ready to go. And being picked at the end of the first round, I think is a good spot for him. But Andy Reid's always been talking about edge. Would I have wanted a pure defensive lineman, like a Derek Harmon, something like that? Yeah. But you know what, though? Karloftis is the last year of his contract. Hey, we'll see if they re-up him. They can't pay everybody. We know that. But certainly he's a guy you can stick there on the edge, I believe, in day one.
Binkley, which running back did you get? Because I know you took one, because I just know that we're all in the same boat of wanting ideally pass-catching speed back, but which running back did you go with?
All right, so in the second round, I went Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle, interior defensive lineman from Florida State.
Defensive line.
Third round, pick 66, went Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, the running back.
There's the explosive.
Almost 1,500 yards last year. So Dylan Sampson, in the third round, and also in the third round, Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver who claimed he was going to beat 4.21 at the combine. He didn't. He ran a really slow 4.39. So extremely slow 4.39. But Isaiah Bond, tight end Mitchell Evans out of Notre Dame, who started the slide this year. Earlier this year, you're looking at, you know, a first round type selection, but he's definitely slid back. But it's a guy that played all 16 games for Notre Dame this year, had over 50 yards in that national title game, and then back to defense in the sixth round with Malachi Moore, the safety, Zachariah Franklin, the wide receiver at Illinois in the seventh round, and Nazir Stackhouse, Mr. Irrelevant, defensive lineman.
Second time somebody suggested Nazir Stackhouse as Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Why does everyone think he's going undrafted up until the last pick?
That's what Chris and I did for our Chiefs mock as we went that direction.
So I like it.
We did hit offense and three straight picks, but yeah. We started off with defense.
I like it from a positional
standpoint. That's what
the
draft is about.
Yeah, I like how you position it. Look, I'm not going to pretend to know each one of these players. Dylan Sampson is definitely a name we've talked about because I think we've all agreed they need to get more explosive at running back. He would fit that billing. You know, how realistic
is
it?
He is a home run hitter. And not only that, but it's the type of guy you don't have to pull out. As far as if it's passing downs or whatever, or run blocking, he can do it all. He's not the type of guy that you would have to do. You could actually keep him in. He's kind of one of those backs that you can keep in all the time, but extremely, extremely explosive.
Okay, Mink. Well, if you've missed it, go listen to the Character Concerns podcast. Gold and I will do some research on Nick Skorton for the mock draft sounder. And then the next time you got one, you just let us know. The sounder's always there for you.
All right, Phyllis, I think they're going to put it out on Twitter or X later.
Okay,
the different selections.
It's out right now. It was tweeted out 4 minutes ago.
There you go.
Oh, it is out.
Perfect.
There it is. It did go out. So, boom, there you go. So, it's out there now. So, they did it, timed it perfect for going on with you guys in the mock draft sounder.
There you go. Jay Binkley, our draft expert.
Speck heard the sounder and he said, I gotta get that tweet.
I'm convinced
out.
Bink actually has a button he pushes at his house. He pushes the button and it automatically plays the sounder. Like Drew mainly has control over the mock draft sounder, but if Bink wants to press it and he wants to come on the show, darn it, he can come on the show. That's what happens.
Can you give me the Nick Skorton scouting report?
Yeah, I can. Again, I don't think it's going to be as entertaining as yesterday's scouting report that brought us some good laughs. Nick Skorton, honestly, there was an AFC scout that's quoted that made the comparison to Karlaftis, and I am convinced it's just because they
Purdue.
Both played at Purdue at some point in time, even though Skorton finished his career in collegiate career at Texas A&M. Here was the quote I was referencing, though, real quick. From an AFC scout to NFL Network's Lance Erline, he plays his tail off. He's always in the middle of everything. He's a forced player, like George Karlaftis was coming out, but Skorton has a little more rush. That's from an AFC regional scout. The comp from Lance Erline, Trey Hendrickson. How about that for a comp? Got his couple years, 17 and a half sacks. That's the comp that Lance Erline.
I mean, if that's who they got, I think I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, why did he get worse? He was reportedly excellent at Purdue and then got worse when he transferred.
Yeah,
why did he get so much worse?
He looked a step quicker on his 2023 tape at Purdue, Cody.
It's hard getting old, man. You get up to 20 and all of a sudden
he's
you can't
super
move fast
young.
Anymore.
Yeah. Strengths are alter step cadence and entry angles to keep tackles guessing. Forced offenses to send additional protection. Good power and aggression when attacking the point.
One of these weaknesses is he gets caught sleeping. Loses contain positioning. He gets bored.
Oh, no.
He's not rushing the passer. He gets bored. It's concerning. Whatever. I mean, this seems fine.
6'3", 257.
Eventually, we're going to have to choose our...
favorite?
Yeah, every year we do the same thing. We might as well, like, in about a couple of weeks, I want you to give me the defensive lineman you hope they get in the first round, the running back you hope they get in the second or the third round, and the wide receiver you hope that they get in the second or the third round. And we can just start picking the guys now, because I do like that we stake our name to somebody gold.
Yeah,
that
we usually do.
That way it's not just like, this is the guy I want. Like, and sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. I'd like to stake our name to somebody.
Someone says, how are his hands? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, it says, hands are heavy, skilled, and efficient in his rush.
Okay.
That's a big difference from the description we had yesterday, right? Like that's a little bit different than the meaty hands,
yeah.
According to the draft experts.
Heavy.
Someone
do you
says,
like heavy hands in a defensive end? Is that a good thing?
Absolutely,
or do you
love
like,
it.
Like quick hands?
No, I want the heavy hands. Hands are heavy. I want that's a strength. That's a strength, man.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Text line also wants us to pull a drop of something Bink said. I think Drew's working on that. Those of you that texted in were on top of it. He was talking about the running back who I would be very thrilled with at in round three, pick 66 in round three, or 66 overall, I'm sorry. Dylan Sampson, he presents some explosiveness, but Bink mentioned he's not someone that you're ever going to have to take out of the game, I think is what he meant to say. Mm-hmm. But people took it a little bit differently. So, yeah.
Well, listen to that.
We never want to have to do that.
You'd mentioned at the beginning of the Chiefs Red Half Hour, I thought it was a really interesting discussion on New Heights and then later Travis Hunter on his own podcast. Travis Kelce was talking about what Travis Hunter was going to have to do in order to get in the league.
It's 100% possible. I mean, he's going to have to prove that he can do it. Nobody has ever played every single play on both sides. When Deion did it, he would be like a third. He was in like nickel. He was in like certain packages, I believe. I could be wrong about that.
You think he's talking about 100% play
corner
every single down?
And wide receiver. That's what he's thinking, yes. Wow. That's what he did at Colorado.
Well, I'm aware he did it at Colorado.
That's what I'm saying. In the NFL, he'll have to guess. They'll have to scheme up around him getting too exhausted.
And so Travis mentioned that, and then Travis Hunter was on his podcast and agreed with Travis Kelce's assessment, which is the biggest takeaway, which is if you prove you can do it, they'll let you do it. They'll start you small. You'll be a full-time corner, and you'll get 15 snaps on offense. If those 15 snaps on offense do not stop you from getting tired or wearing you down or affecting your play on the defensive side of the ball, they'll give you 20. And if you're effective in those 20 snaps, they'll give you 25. If you want to, if you're Travis Hunter and you want to become a full-time starter at both positions in the NFL like you did at Colorado, you are going to have to nickel and dime them for snaps and prove that you can do that workload. And I think even more than just like not be tired, be healthy, play in the NFL and physically stay
also,
on the field.
Also, you've got to be damn good at
way.
Both. You know, I understand in college
receiver snaps have got to be productive wide receiver snaps.
I still, right now, if you're do I think he'll ever get to a point where he's getting 90% of the snaps in the entire game? I don't think so. I don't believe, and there is some truth that could they expand the workload in year two compared to year one and year three compared to year two? Sure. I think there's truth to that. I don't believe in the NFL. Given the level of play we're talking about and to be performing at such a high level, that kind of snaps the way he did in college, I don't think we're going to see that. I think it'll still be really impressive when he does both because he's going to. I just in an NFL game, I don't remember college, you play what, 12 games, 13 games. I don't believe in the NFL. If you're on a playoff team, you're going to play 18 games, you're going to play 20 games, and you're going to play 100% of the snaps in the entire game. On both sides of the ball, I don't believe that.
Is there any part of it that, like, let's just say he gets drafted as a corner and it's not going great. He's Kyrie Elam all of a sudden and he can't guard, right? Like, okay. He's not getting on the field. Does he try to make the full transition, full switch to wide receiver?
I think it's a possibility
and
in his career.
You know what, actually?
Down the road.
Maybe that's what I should be doing instead. It's not like he didn't put up monster numbers at wide receiver at Colorado. He did. He put up huge wide receiver numbers even there. He's obviously athletic enough to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't want to have to do it, right?
Type of guy you don't have to pull out.
Yeah, you may not want to do that. You know, you can just plug him in. Thanks, Bink.
We know what he meant.
Oh yeah, the text line enjoyed it.
Type of guy you don't have to pull out.
Noted. But yeah, I just think it's interesting that Travis Kelce is at least admitting he thinks it's possible. Because it is tough if you're Travis Hunter. I guess I view it like Shohei. I don't think it's crazy because nobody else in college has done it. I don't think it's crazy to play him at both. If I were the team that drafted him, I'd be willing to play him 95% snaps at corner because corners don't really come off the field and 60% snaps at wide receiver. He is the only person, in my opinion, who's been running both in collegiate or NFL level in my entire memory of life. I'm not saying there was never a guy who stepped on and took a defensive snap for a team in college, but not played full-time both ways multiple years in college. So if he's just the one exception to the rule, I'm going to take advantage and play one player a contract to get to play two positions.
No, he's going to get an opportunity to do both. I'm with you.
Full-time.
And I would let him do both. Not full-time, though. I don't believe that's realistic. I think you're shortening his career at that point. This is the debate, right? This is the debate everybody's having right now about him, and we'll find out. He has a chance to prove a lot of people wrong. I think he should. His value is that he can do both. That's why he's going to get drafted where he gets drafted as well.
Where's the best place for him to go?
I still think the Raiders are in play for sure.
I would say Jacksonville's the best place for him to go if he's going to play both sides.
They need both of those. Mm. I would also argue that the Patriots need both.
Yeah, but
the Patriots need a corner and need a wide receiver, and Vrabel knows something about being in a system that once he played for a team that utilized Deion Branch in third down packages. So, like, I'm not saying it's like apples to apples, but at least he's been around a time in which that successfully worked.
The reason why I say Jacksonville is he doesn't have to be the number one wide receiver as well as a top tier corner. Where if he goes to Jacksonville,
I don't think he's a number one wide receiver anywhere.
Who on the Patriots is the number one though?
See, like,
Travis Hunter would be the number one. I think, right away.
I just don't believe that's. There's a difference between being a number one receiver and being forced to be the number one receiver because the wide receiver room sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know, like,
which is why I think Jacksonville fits better.
Yeah, no, that might be the case. I'm just saying, like, I don't believe, like, if we fast forward 5 years from now, I don't believe we will consider Travis Hunter wide receiver one. That's all.
You would hope not, because I agree with you. I don't think he's not that he's not capable, but he's a wide receiver too. Like, it fits. Which is why I think Jacksonville would be better for him to just plug right in, be corner, and then don't get asked to have 10 targets a game as well as playing both. Like, if he goes to the Patriots, he's going to get thrown the ball at least 10 times a game, plus play corner. That's a lot to take in, where if you're with Brian Thomas Jr., maybe you only get 6 or 7 targets. It's not as wearing on your body.
I guess the question is, like, snaps to targets. If he's only getting 15 snaps, he's only going to get, like, 3 targets.
Yeah, I was trying to look at just like for Bracketology, there's a site that compiles all the mock drafts and does the consensus pick. The consensus across all the mocks is that he does go third overall. It's weird. So they have him the third player, but projection number 4, I'm sorry, to the Patriots. But they list him as a number 3 player. They have Sanders going to the Giants.
Troy Brown, sorry, not Deion Branch. Thank you for correcting my random New England wide receiver text line.
They have the Raiders consensus across all mocks taking Ashton Jeanty, the very, very talented plug-and-play back right away, going to get you 1,000 yards.
I've started to see him get mocked a lot to the Bears.
They have the Bears taking an offensive tackle, just continuing to bolster their O-line. That's the consensus.
They put so much dollars into it, you know? The most fun thing they could do is take Jeanty. Caleb Williams, Jeanty, a revamped offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most fun way. I'm not saying that's the smartest way.
Now, Swift?
Don't listen to me, but that's the most fun way.
Yeah, Swift and then, what's the other guy's name? Herbert's not there anymore, but who's the other back? Roschon Johnson, is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there. Mm-hmm.
If I were the Bears, I might trade back and then take Burden like 18th or something like that. I don't know.
And it's not that I don't think Jeanty's the best, but in a draft where people are like, you can get Jamal Charles in the 3rd round. I mean,
very deep running back draft.
Do you want to spend the 10th overall pick on Ashton Jeanty?
You shouldn't.
If there are 20 good running backs in this draft, it just doesn't make like...
Or get better on defense.
It's not logical.
I would... I think it's a mistake to draft him top 10, but I will say I think Jeanty is the type of running back that immediately he's 1,100, 1,200 yard back rookie year, boom. Rookie of the year candidate right away.
That's why I feel like it actually kind of makes sense for Chicago. You immediately take this massive handcuff off of this quarterback who has all this pressure on him this year. And instead, you let him have a rushing attack with a great running back who can immediately take some heat off your ass.
In
Chicago, I actually kind of think it makes sense. I just wouldn't want to do it at whatever they are, 10th overall.
If he went to the Raiders, do you think he gets over 70 yards in either game against the Chiefs?
Oh, well, now we're getting real specific. Will he have 70 yards against the... Yeah, sure, yes.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, based on how good their run defense was last year.
And how
good they've been, do you think that he actually...
If Travis Hunter is allowed to play wide receiver, he will get 70 yards receiving in his rookie year in some game, yes.
I'm in Jeanty.
Oh, Jeanty. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Travis Hunter still. Sorry. Will Jeanty get 70 yards rushing in a game?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Against the Chiefs? I don't think so.
Yes.
I think he probably will. It just depends. I actually don't know much about the Raiders' offensive line, in fairness. If the Broncos got him, without a doubt, they got the league's best offensive line.
I think Jeanty is a 1,200-yard back rookie year.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. He's going to running backs like this come into the league all the time and have immediate success. Every once in a while, they are like Leonard Fournette, and it takes a little bit of time. But a lot of times, they just walk into the league.
Finally retired, right?
I think so. Good for him, man. He just kept bouncing between good teams.
Got himself a ring late in his career, too.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette.
He shouldn't have gone fourth overall.
How old do you think Leonard Fournette is?
30.
No, he's 28, I think.
He just turned 30.
Is
and he last played in 2023. He retired at 20, or stopped playing. 29. I don't know if he's officially retired. 28 years old. 2023, this season, whatever. Yeah.
He's that old? That's crazy.
He got taken 6 picks ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
No, see what's crazy? You're saying he's that old. I thought he was older than 30 because he hasn't played. I thought he was 33 or 34.
I assumed he was the same age-ish as Patrick Mahomes because they were in the same draft.
Okay, well sure. Yeah, if you know the exact
draft.
That's
why I had a good answer.
Yes,
yeah.
Fair enough. It's crazy that his career's already over. 7 years, got a ring, boom, out. I felt like he was in the league for 15 years.
Of the nine people taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes, how many, he can name all nine. How many do you think you could name? You don't have time now. What's your gut instinct tell you? Six?
Maybe, honestly, yeah. I haven't thought about that draft class in a while, so yeah. I don't, maybe six. I don't even know if I can
might
do that
test
at this point.
Later. Don't look it up.
Yeah, I don't know if I get 2017 draft. I'm not sure, man. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, then we'll get back into a little bit of the NCAA tournament, some action last night, what we saw, plus the offensive expectations for this Royals team based on what they did a year ago. That's coming up on Cody and Gold.